Oh! Ow, ow, ow! Alright, welcome back for another Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo! This is Season 3 Monster Chiller Horror Theater! Oh yeah, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Happy to be with you today, and we are going to talk about Dracula AD 1972. Wow, this is a Hammer movie, and we love ourselves some Hammer around here. But let me introduce the rest of the guys. I got Jumpin' Jack Hall.
I never thought I'd say this, Dan, but I have new appreciation for you and how well you do that how ooh thing now that I've heard Jim trying to. It
is true. Do not try this at home. No, Stan is a trained professional.
Leave it for the professionals.
Well, yes. You gotta remember, like, we do 8 episodes per season here. And what happens is that the first couple are always rough, but by the end, it's just like, oh yeah, ow! You got the pro going on.
Ouch.
Oh, Jack, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
That hurt.
You gotta stretch first. You get, like, make sure to stretch first.
Do your breathing exercises. Oh yeah, get in the zone. All right, now we got...
Wait, no, now the challenge is being laid. The gauntlet. Okay, wait, 1 second.
Trailed off.
You know, go back to the drawing board practice. We'll come back to you at a later date.
You're welcome.
All right, well, you're hearing the voice of Nick Boxer.
Nicky Boxers, mm-hmm. And greeting salutations from the sunny shores of somewhere that is not that is not in the Midwest.
Frankenstein Island.
All right. Yeah. Oh man, that's where we all want to live, is Frankenstein Island.
It was warm. You know what? If I could choose that or the island on Raw Force, dude, I'm choosing Frankenstein Island. Actually, you know what? Naked women on the other one. I'm choosing Raw Force Island.
And rounding out the group, James Cotta.
I am thrilled to be here in the year of our Lord, 1972.
1972. Oh, yeah, we got to do some dancing because it's a funky movie we got going on, Dracula AD 1972.
What a weird name.
Well, groovy Nicky Boxer, why don't you tell us all about the Dracula from 1972?
Yes, Dracula 72 AD, 1972 AD, actually is an offshoot of the Hammer films. We got both Peter Cushing and, I want to say Peter Lorre, but it's not that is not his name.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee, that's where I'm going with this. So, in 1872... Dracula is killed by Van Helsing and then is resurrected by hippies in 100 years later in 1972. Dracula, of course, wants to besmirch the Van Helsing name, so he goes after the the latest descendant, let's say, of the Van Helsing family, and wants to turn her into a blood-sucking vampire. Luckily, a crack team of, well, let's just call them distracted detectives, and Van Helsing's male descendant, let's say, is there to stop him from wreaking havoc. So, did you guys watch the same film I did?
Mm-hmm. Haven't heard that. Not sure. Yes.
I would say, are they more precisely mods?
Yeah, mods. Yeah.
Would you call them mods?
Right. Yeah,
it seems late for mods, but
well,
I just thought of it as that they were British hippies. They come in hippies come in different flavors. You just have to like roll with it.
It's weird because the whole time that I'm watching it, I just keep going back to A Clockwork Orange, you know, and I have
expect Malcolm McDowell
to
pop up. There's so much of that.
So yeah, it's
it is hard to put that aside as you're watching it.
Well, and just what is it? It's like the first 20 or 30 minutes that's entirely just takes place with the Moths, and the movie starts out with them at a party and a band.
And this is very little Dracula. That's for damn sure.
It takes quite a we have this great opening scene of Van Helsing and Dracula having it out on a carriage, and there's a big carriage crash.
And I was thinking, Dracula's that's not killed. 1972. But...
in 1872, and then 30 minutes goes by before we have Dracula again.
I think you're skipping over how great that party was.
That party is great.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, it has the only good music in the movie, done by the Stone Ground.
Stone Ground.
Introducing Stone Ground is what's in the credits. They were awesome.
Yes.
They say
did anyone get a horrifying fact from this movie? Because the lead singer,
Fear Facts.
Fear Facts, is that what we're calling them?
Yeah, this season's Fear Fact. It's a play on our TV show.
The lead singer that has a fairly prominent role in that initial party scene was also the lead singer of a little band called Bo Bremel, which you may know from the Flintstones episode in season 6, episode 1, where Fred Flintstone creates his own dance, the Flintstone Flip.
No, I was hoping you were going to say the Way Outs. That's the one I remember. Way out.
No, that's what I initially thought, but no, the Flintstone Flip was the big was the big thing there. I was just glad that I was able to tie.
And I will Sal give you a
Valentino, Stone Ground into the Flintstones.
Stone Ground was an American band. It was going to be the Faces, the legendary band, the Faces. Wow. And they were a last minute replacement. So there's another fear fact.
And what's weird is that, I mean, amongst the many things that are weird in this movie, so they say introducing Stone Ground in the opening credits, and then the first introduction we have to the 1970s is Stone Ground playing at a house party. They play two songs for 6 minutes nonstop.
Awesome, they're playing. They're like, because they had a contract with the Faces to really show off their music, and then they're like, oh shit.
but then we never see Stone Ground again.
They don't have anything to do with the movie. Nobody said that.
Oh yeah, it was crazy because I'm just watching it and I'm like, I'm digging on Stone Ground, but when does the Dracula start? And then you start, and then of course, so they meet, I forget his name, but they meet this character, and he's like, kind of joins their gang, their group, their...
Jonathan Aguillard.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Acula.
Yeah.
Alucard. How many movies has Alucard been used in?
Son of Dracula. That goes back to like Son of Dracula.
I'm guessing 1972.
I came across
like you couldn't rearrange those letters to spell anything else.
I came across like some there's a currently running show that used Alucard, and people didn't know immediately who it was.
Well, and the worst part is that so there's that one scene where Peter Cushing's Van Helsing character is rearranging the letters. It's not even that you have to rearrange the letters. God. He's drawing lines between them, and it's just like,
well, they wanted to make sure you knew that you could figure it out.
It's fucking they did Dracula not trust the backwards. Audience
to put it together.
There's nothing special about it. You know, it's just Dracula backwards. Really.
What I actually couldn't figure out is why he was named that, because he wasn't descendant of Dracula or anything like that. He was a follower thereof. It's not like I'm going to take my boss's last name and spell it back just because.
That is a really great point. That makes no sense at all. He's just what the kids call a Stan. He's just a psychotic fan. of his own boss.
Yeah, well, but then when he afterwards, when he brings Dracula back, Dracula says, like, "Oh, I controlled you and made you do it." but it was obvious that he actually really wanted to anyway, since he's begging for the power the whole time. So it's like, "Oh, I need to be a sexy vampire like you, Christopher Lee. You're looking a little old, but still, it's okay. I want to be a sexy vampire."
But, I mean, the movie was inspired by an actual real-life occurrence in London that was happening, the Highgate Vampire, this media sensation about this real-life supernatural activity at the Highgate Cemetery. So it kind of is playing into all that.
I think that's something producers say when they want to get somebody to go to the movie.
Yeah, it is one of those cases where, like, I love the police officers because the one guy really just wants to eat. He doesn't give a shit about actually being a police officer. And then, but yeah, they're completely working on their own for the most part. It's like, no, don't tell. This is too crazy. We don't want to tell anybody else about the vampire because this is too crazy. I recognize that. That's
actually, I mean, this is probably a bad thing. I was a bad thing to say about a movie, but I was fascinated by the cop just from the little set piece of his office where he had a whole bunch of like desk games and puzzles to figure out.
Oh, yes.
You could tell he wasn't a busy cop.
Yeah, that
was. And in no time was this really explained that, you know, he likes puzzles and like that. No, he just has a plethora of little knocking balls and little just puzzles. And they're all over his desk to a degree. That's all I could see. I was just checking his desk for shit.
Well, there is a lot of things in this that I don't think they really bother trying to explain. It's good enough that they have the characters, and when they start dying, it's like, oh no, this person's dying. That's terrible. Well, they're a member of this gang here, but who? I don't know. We better round them up.
Now they're a group. She went to great lengths to distinguish her group of friends from a gang.
Yes. Well, what do they call themselves?
She explained that they call themselves a group.
Oh, just a group. Okay.
Just a group of friends.
Just a group of friends.
Because Peter Cushing? When Val Helsing points out, you know, you and your gang, you're dying off. It's a group. She got quite defensive. I thought that was a little weird little piece of dialogue.
That is totally fair. Yes. Yeah, I mean, stuff happens in this movie. There's no question about that.
It does indeed.
But it doesn't feel like there's a lot of stuff that happens in this movie.
Well, I mean, it's a movie that, like, the Hammer Dracula fans like. Because, I mean, it's the first time that Lee and Cushing had been together since the original in 1958. So they waited 15 years for them to do a movie together again. So Hammer fans, and it's got that Hammer feel, they like it. But the critics weren't too favorable to this film. And I could see that. I could see why it is the Hammer fans are forgiving of its faults. But by why it is also somebody who's not a Hammer fan would watch this and go, what?
It's a very competent movie in a lot of ways. It could be just generic hippies dying, but every beatnik hippie dude we have, they're distinctive. At no time was I like confused on who was doing what. I like that about the film. Solid filmmaking.
Did you know Cushing and Lee did over 20 films together?
Yeah, but only three that were Dracula.
Wow.
Yeah, Cushing was the he they was Dr. Frankenstein in the Hammer.
They had one that came out like 2 weeks before this together.
Wow, really?
Remember which one? Yeah, wow. I got to look that up. Yeah, remember because
they did some of the Frankensteins together.
They did Frankenstein together.
Lee is the creature, and Cushing is the doctor.
Of course.
Yeah.
Should it, not be the other way around. Horror Express.
Nice.
2 weeks. 2 days. I have not seen that one. Horror Express was released 2 days before this one.
That's insane.
That's so if you wanted your Lee and Cushing, you got your Lee and Cushing.
Wow.
That one is not good.
Then why aren't we reviewing it?
Because we haven't done the transportation season yet.
Oh, that's funny. But it's funny, but at the same time, I know that we will do a transportation season, so, you know.
It's funny
because I'm already putting in my head, like, five films that could fit in there. There's, like, films on, there's a horror films on, like, boats and, you know, supernatural ones. And, like, yeah, there's that one, the Terror Train or whatever with, Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Runaway a lot.
Train. Runaway Train is the one I would put in.
Tons of crap. I'll tell you.
This is the listeners getting a sneak peek into how we choose seasons. The listeners don't know that we choose three seasons for everyone we record
because we just want to watch and talk about these movies.
Now this movie does have something that Hammer was well known for. I will give them a lot of credit for this. They have women with really enormous breasts.
They do.
Magnificent. So Alucard, Johnny Alucard, I love that name too, Johnny Alucard. He needs to sacrifice someone to bring Dracula back from having been staked and gone to ash. Apparently he had to wait 100 years to do this. It's very vague as to why it had to be exactly 100 years.
Sounds good.
Luck. Sounds like superstition more than anything else. But the young lady that he covers in blood has magnificent breasts.
Yes, and calling what he covered,
you have never sounded creepy ever, and that's coming from me.
The blood in that scene was interesting.
Yeah, it
was. I've never seen like them going with the foam blood, like, foaming blood before. And it wasn't the red in later scenes that spurted out of Dracula.
Isn't that more like a
deep foam red?
Hammer thing? Like the blood couldn't be colored?
Yeah, I think that looks familiar to me to all the Hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me it's something with the British board is that it couldn't be blood colored. Like it had to be kind of cartoonish to show that much blood.
Yeah. And Hammer showed a lot of blood.
Yeah. I also
good,
like
good comeback. A lot to add there. Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to riff on that for four exchanges. And then it just kind of slowly crawled to a halt.
Hammer likes blood.
Yeah.
Me too. Blood is good.
And scene. All right, do we have anything to add
here? I think we're hardly done.
All right, well let's move into the scoring and then I'm sure we'll have some things to add at that point.
Oh yeah.
So we as always, as we search for the ultimate B movie, we rate the films in five categories, none of which are objective quality. And the first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, this is a movie like, and I like the Hammer movies general rule. Sure.
This was a movie?
This is a movie. Yes.
I checked.
Yes.
Thanks. Oh man,
you're doing well there. but it has stone that. Ground, so I like the fact that it has stone ground. It's not my favorite of the Hammer movies. But it is a very fun movie to watch once you can get past the whole mod element to it, and I appreciate that. But it's just so weird as an update, so it kind of takes you a little bit out of the picture. I'm just going to go with 6 because it feels almost like two different movies to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 7. I mean, the title alone has schlock all over it. Dracula in 1972, you immediately get, you know, an image of your head. And it is exactly that.
The medium for a Hammer film schlock appeal is 5. So then you go plus or minus. I'm going to go plus 1, 6.
I like that about you, Jack. You're always so exacting in the way you score. Very careful. You're thoughtful.
It's very no scientific. Mistakes.
No recriminations.
No mistakes ever.
It always holds up on appeal.
Except for when I'm scoring, when I actually used to write them down and reverse the two movies that we were scoring. That was kind of a bad.
Unlike Stan, the mods is what sells me on this movie, and the juxtaposition of go-go dancers and Christopher Lee as Dracula, I think, is amazing. But I only went with a 7. Our next category we call More Heart Than Budget. And Stan.
More Heart Than Budget. Oh, man. You know, this one's a tough one for me. Hammer feels like it has... Again, it's almost like Jack said, where you know, like a 5 is your mean, but
yeah,
I'm gonna go with a minus in this case, and I'm gonna go with the 4.
You know what? I'm shooting this one right up the middle, 5. I don't think anyone was insulted beyond that, but you know, they were going on to another horror film next week, so
yeah. Literally, right. I mean, they went right to a sequel on this.
Yeah. So, yeah, but
is there a sequel to this one?
Yeah, there's a sequel to this, Satanic Rites.
Nice.
You know? I mean, Hammer did 8 of these films.
Yeah.
But this one, I mean, technically, this isn't a sequel to the 1958 horror of Frankenstein, because in that one, took place in 1858 or something like that. So timeline wise, it doesn't match up.
Dateners drive me up the wall.
And well, you're the guy who would have watched the CBS version, where when CBS showed it, they just retitled it Dracula Today. When they showed it on CBS, so.
That's a great title.
Yeah, Dracula Today. I'm like, really, today, 1980, and all these mod kids.
well,
6.
Maybe that's. Maybe that's what the CBS office looked like in 1980.
Honest to God, thought that Jack had said CVS, and it really...
it's a pharmacy?
I went with a 7 on this one, and I refuse to explain that.
I didn't explain mine.
Excellent. The less explanation, the better. That's what I say.
All right, our next category we call What the Fuck Moments.
All right. Well, the party by itself now had a couple of kooky moments, because I like the fact that the party that had Stoneground playing, you know, there's the mods dancing around, but at the same time there's all these people that look like they're for a really highbrow dinner party, and they're pissed off because the mods have kind of taken over, because they were talked into hiring Stoneground. I guess this is what happens when you don't get the faces playing the party, is that all the wrong element come to the party. So it was a very odd introduction to that moment. The one element that I'm going to point to, though, is Stephanie Beecham and her wonderful breasts. She was Jessica Van Helsing, and there's this point where she is in bed after finding out that one of her friends died, and Peter Cushing comes in to like talk to her for a moment, and he puts his hand down by her breast, and At that moment, you realize that she is wearing... Now, he is her grandfather. Like, Grandpa Van Helsing, right there. And
he's going for a quick feel.
Well, and at that moment, you realize that she is wearing this sheer negligee thing that you can totally see her breast through. And you can see that his hand just goes down there, and, like, her breast being large kind of lands on his hand. And it's one of these moments where you're like... Well, that's actually really fucking uncomfortable.
God, I have to rewatch this movie now.
And so that was to me the one part that I really noted and said, wow, what the fuck? And so I'm going to give it a 6 based on her breasts.
I'm only giving this one a 3 for the WTF factor. This did not have anything I was not expecting. If you told me it was a Hammer film in 1972, taking place in 1972, this is exactly the film I was going to imagine.
Well, there's a few things here. Like Peter Cushing, I mean, the guy... The guy, he's quite amazing. He never ages. You've seen him in Rogue One. The guy never, ever.
He looks the same as he did in 1977.
Yeah, just amazing.
Only a bit more mannequin-like.
Just a bit.
Just slightly glossier. That's
that
all.
Movie
that's
could go all. Boogaloo just based on him. what the hell was I saying? No, I mean, I can't put together the timeline that his grandfather died in 1872 and he's only like 60 and I can't, that means his father was like, must've been like 50 when he had him. Cause he was already.
Only you would watch a movie with calculator in hand. Just to make sure, you know,
I was also trying to figure it out because at a certain point, Jessica refers to the first Van Helsing as her great grandfather, which makes no sense.
Well, she originally she was supposed to play his daughter.
Yeah.
And Cushing's real life wife had passed away. And I guess he looked so horrid and haggard after that experience that they made him the grandfather instead of the father. It was literally a last minute thing. So that might, but none of this makes like timeline. You guys promised me when we were doing this podcast, there'd be no math. None of this.
You created math. This is all on you.
There's one scene in this where like Van Helsing is looking for her, for Stephanie Beecham, who she went on to be in Dynasty and the Colbys and stuff like that. That's where she played like a vixen character, right? Like that's her most famous thing. And he's looking for her, his granddaughter, and running around London like an idiot with no plan, just looking for her. And he's sitting there and there's a close-up camera on him and he looks around in horror and then he realizes that this face is a mannequin that looks nothing like her. And I don't think there's any other part of, like, it's just like a mannequin head. I don't even think there's a body. Like, she's just standing there not moving. He clearly thought this was her and she's clearly dead. She's not moving. Wait, it's a mannequin. And that, to me, is one of the great WTFs of all time. And then, of course, one of her friends comes running out and goes, I've been looking all over. There you are. I've been looking all over you for you. Right after she almost runs him over. And I'm like even London at the time was what, like a city of 15 million people? Like, you just, like, there's, I know there's no.
It's not
there's
that no big. Cell Come phone, on.
That's amazing, dude.
There's only 4 million or so. Good Lord, man. Just
oh, no, more than that. It's 10. So there's definitely some, but no more than your average Hammer film. So 5.
So the traditional ways to kill a vampire. What? We've got a wooden stake.
And death by wheel.
We got death by wagon wheel. Which is great. we got your sunlight. Garlic doesn't kill him; it just keeps him away. So those are your traditional ones. The one that's always forgotten is Running Water. Now, the reason that this is forgotten is because it's terrible on film. Johnny Alucard is killed in a shower because they decide that they're going to use Running Water.
Now you finally make it make sense. Thanks to you.
Yes, it is in the original Dracula novel by Stoker. And even then, it never comes into play because it's a terrible one.
Blood of Dracula, he died in Running Water.
Yeah, see, it's a lousy thing on film. Like, it just because it limits you so much. Like, vampires aren't even supposed to be able to cross running water.
Yeah, but I mean, even in this film, I thought, you know, the Dracula death. I mean, the first one is spectacular, but the second time Dracula dies, he literally falls into his own grave onto a spike.
Yeah, which has it's filled with punji sticks. It's awesome.
Yes.
But Alucard's killed by a shower.
It's true. I was wondering why that killed him.
I actually thought that was unique. I mean, you have a bunch of, I mean, that whole fight scene there, you have a bunch of the Dracula jokes. You know, they chase him around with reflected sunlight, and then they throw a Bible in this coffin, which I didn't even know was a thing.
I mean, if for crossworks, I would assume, I mean, there's probably a whole
bunch. I took that whole scene as, or his entire character is like, Lesser Ways to Kill a Vampire, the movie.
It's a great we've used them all before, so we got to find new ways.
Stakes. Time to use the plumbing. and that actor just chews up the scenery during that scene.
Oh God!
He just shrieks that he's never going to tell Van Helsing how to find his granddaughter. You'll never find her. You'll never find her. Oh, he just eats up the scenery in that scene. Johnny Alucard makes the movie for me because he's just ridiculous in every scene he's in.
And you know he's a bad guy because the cops don't even want to arrest Van Helsing. Because it's obviously he's broken into this poor guy's apartment and killed him.
Well, he killed him by having him fall into the shower. I mean, how do you
send somebody to jail? Yeah, I stick my head underwater that long, I'm going to die too, unfortunately.
That's how you know he's a vampire, because I held his head underwater.
Nick does rarely shower.
So is it possible that you are a vampire then?
So I gave it a 5 there. We're moving on to the next category called Memorable Moments.
Memorable Moments. The Stone Ground played. It had Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, which I really enjoyed. Probably as you talk about it, definitely the vision of Johnny Alucard all dead in the shower kind of pops into my head. But I'm not 100% sure that there's going to be a lot that I'm going to be remembering out of this baby in a couple of years. So I'm just going to have to go with 3.
I'm going with 6. I enjoyed this film. It was a good film. There's a lot in it. But in the end, it's just going to fade away with 100 other Hammer moments. This is a very Hammer film. And I'm going to have a tough time remembering what film, what moment was in, I think.
You know, and this is actually where it's really interesting to do the podcast, because I got this as an 8. So, I mean, we're going from 3 to 6 to 8, seeing all over the place. I mean, I think Stone Grab is really...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you grab your numbers from random sources.
you just got a ten-sided die.
This isn't Frankenhooker.
It's true. I am a D&D geek, and this is how I do it. No, it's because Stone Ground is there. I think that the actual, the cast is great. And not, Christopher Lee and Cushing together, obviously. But also, I think everybody else who's cast in this thing is fantastic. That, to me, makes it very memorable. I think it's a fantastic cast. Everybody's perfectly cast in the role from beginning to end. I think that the satanic ritual where they bring back with the music and in the church and everything like that, where they bring back Dracula. I think that's an incredibly memorable scene. I think the fight at the end, which is a little ridiculous because Peter Cushing does look so old and frail, but I think it's not, and you know, it doesn't match the first fight that they did, but I think it's very exciting. I think that this is the strength of the film to me.
Well, certainly I'm going to go, I'm not going to go quite as high, but I'm going to go with a 7. When we were putting the season together, I really wanted to have a Hammer film. And I thought the Hammer film that's got the go-go dancers, which one was that? Cause that's the one I want the rest of the guys to see. I mean, Cushing and Lee together, I just think they're one of the best screen duos that there ever was. I don't know if there's actually a film where they work together. You know, it might be like Karloff and Lugosi that they had to be opposed to each other when they were in a film. Right. We are moving on to the last category we call Crazy Concept.
Crazy Concept. Well, this one, when you consider horror or like the Hammer movie, the Dracula and Van Helsing jumping into the 1970s with a mod group, this one's kind of got some crazy on it for me, so I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm only going with a 6 because I have a feeling they were preparing to make a Dracula film and went, how can we cut the budget? Oh, let's make it in 1972. That way we don't have to buy sets. I'm getting a little crazy. Not totally out there. Not boogaloo.
Yeah, it's kind of low-hanging fruit to just, you know, you want to revitalize and give a shot in the arm to the franchise. Just find a way to bring it into the modern era. Never mind that means that you're going to take a 60-year-old Van Helsing, and 100 years later, he looks the exact same and is coincidentally the exact same age as his grandfather, and it just makes no sense. It was when he died 100 years ago. It just, you know, like, it's just very low-hanging fruit. So to me, it's not a crazy concept at all. It's a 3.
I completely understand without agreeing. I got down in my notes that I refer to this as 70s vampsploitation. That's I'm giving this an 8. I think I think the go-go dancers in Dracula is a hard sell. All right, that brings us to the end of the scoring, and we, as always, we have 6 secret modifiers, none of which apply to this film.
It's a good thing we kept in secret.
I considered one, but I decided that that an early death does not count if it's Dracula that's the one that's dying.
Given that you know he better come back, otherwise it's going to be the Mummy and Christopher Lee's going to die in 10 seconds and never come back.
Which gives us a final score of 57.5, tying it with Bloodsport from season 1.
Oh, wow.
We are really dialing in that mainstream score. We've got Revenge of the Nerds at 58, Bloodsport at 57.5. We have Monster Squad at 58.5. We have found the sweet spot. We've definitely got a pattern showing in the more mainstream films that we come at in our search for the ultimate B movie.
Yeah, and I guess it's really interesting when you think about it, because Hammer, normally you wouldn't think of as mainstream, but it just has these slightly more mainstream elements to it. And I think as I was watching it, I certainly enjoyed it, but let's be honest, is it Frankenstein Island? No.
Yeah. No, really, what is Frankenstein Island?
Seriously. And we're not asking what film, like, I mean, what is Frankenstein Island? I've watched it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, in that B movie comparison, like, it can't compare to the Wolf Guys and Hots or that kind of thing. It's just not quite that same level. Still a good movie, though. So I appreciate that we watched it. And honestly, as you said before there, James, you know, you cannot top Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. What an amazing combination.
Absolutely. So great together.
Well, all right then. So moving on to the next episode, I am super excited because we're going to talk about Frankenhooker. So we're
prostitutes, finally.
Yeah. We are jumping off the deep end. You know, if this wasn't the deep end, this was the shallow end. We're going for the deep end to wrap up season 3 of Monster Chiller Horror Theater. But, Jim, why don't you tell all the folks where they can find us on the internet?
The best place to find us is on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. If you are on anything else, you should talk to our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts. So wetalkpodcasts.com, and We Talk Podcasts on Facebook or Twitter, and that'll keep you up to date with all the new episodes as they come out. Make sure to subscribe because we will have a little break between seasons, and then the new ones will be early December is when we'll have our next episodes.
And we will announce the first of our next season, season 4, during the next episode of Frankenhooker. All right. So see,
well, these are all being released on the same day, so just announce it here.
No, because the thing is, we want people to listen to Frankenhooker.
Listen to that one, or no.
What if they don't listen to these in order? I don't know what happens.
Don't listen to that one at all. Then.
Well, it doesn't matter. They can hear it then. But
they can scrub to the end, I guess. Like, yeah. That's
if no, like just say it.
You people. Anyways.
Or you can look for us on Instagram where we'll probably be posted on there like about the same time.
All right. Well, before we go out, everybody can do their howls. So, all right, Nick, you go first with your howl.
All right. Nick is me. channeling my inner wolf, building up for it.
All right. Wow, it's still going. Wow,
that was good. I'm done. Like, I can't compete with that.
Oh, come on. Come on, Jack. Give it a shot. See if you can beat it.
Just imagine you're with your dog. You're having an orgasm.
I am a fetus. Hooray! My dog right now is looking at me, kind of a little horny.
All right, James, show me this terrible howl that you've got.
Your dog's named Jin Erso, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. All right, that's
right. It's just terrible.
But is it a terrible wolf or is it a terrible? Count Floyd.
Maybe for sex. Actually, we're supposed to be doing Count Floyd. I thought we were doing a wolf. No. Okay. Children. I don't know why my Count Floyd sounds a little more like Scooby.
All right. Well, join us next episode for the end of Monster Chiller Horror Theater. Season 3 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Ow! So I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening for Jim, for Jack, for Nick, and myself, the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Ow! Oh.